Jeremiah 48, of Moab. Thus says Yahweh of armies, Woe to Nebo, it's laid waste. Kiriathaim is disappointed, it is taken. Mizgab is put to shame and broken down. The praise of Moab is no more. Come, let us cut her off from being a nation, they say in Heshbon. You also, madmen, shall be brought to silence. The sword will pursue you. The sound of a cry from Horonaim, desolation and great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. We keep saying that Moab is destroyed. Well, I don't think that it means that it was. It means that this is going to happen. But it's so certain of happening that God speaks of it as if it has. As Paul says, God speaks about those things that are not as if they are, because he ultimately knows the future and his word of judgment will come true. Now, faith is really trying to get that perspective of God, of believing that although things are currently not as they will be, yet they will change. God's word will come true, and we are to live as if it is so certain of fulfillment that effectively it has come true. For by the ascent of Luhith, with continual weeping shall they go up. Flee, save your lives, be like the heath in the wilderness. Well, Moab was one of the countries to where some of the people of Judah had fled when the Babylonians came and attacked. You may remember that earlier in Jeremiah we read that when the Babylonians took Jerusalem and they installed Gedaliah to be king, there were Jews who had run away, who had fled to Moab and Ammon, who returned. But I think they're being told, flee, get out of there. They also will fall. Everywhere is going to fall. The only safety is in throwing yourself upon God. Because you have trusted in your works and in your treasures, you also shall be taken. Chemosh, that's their god, shall go forth into captivity, his priests and his princes together. The destroyer shall come on every city, no city shall escape. May wings be given to Moab, that she may fly and get her away. So I think when he says, may wings be given to Moab, I think this is God's desire and Jeremiah's desire that Moab would repent, that they would hear Jeremiah's prophecy and say, yeah, okay, we'll get out of the way of the Babylonian invasion. And the Jews would not run there for help. Cursed is he who does the work of Yahweh negligently, who keeps back his sword from blood. So saying that there'll be a curse on Babylon unless they really do cut off all of Moab. Moab has been at ease from his youth. He's like wine that's settled and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither has he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remains in him and his scent is not changed. So Moab hasn't repented, and God wanted Moab to repent. He wanted the Gentiles to repent as well as his people. And he says that, well, because they've never gone through a situation where they're emptied from vessel to vessel, they've therefore just settled down at ease and are not repentant. And I think that can be true in a lot of human lives, that if your life is easy, and you don't know what it is to be uprooted, to go from here to there, from this situation to that situation, then you just settle down like wine settles down. You're not stirred up, and so you won't change. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will send to him those who pour off, and they shall pour him off, and they shall empty his vessels. So I think God is saying that, well, because you're so settled down and I want you to repent, I will bring about a captivity so that you do have to break out of this sort of comfortably numb attitude that you've got. Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh. This was the hope, that Moab would repent of worshipping Chemosh. How do you say, we are mighty men and valiant men for the war? They were saying to Jeremiah, no, we've got the best, strongest soldiers. No, Moab is laid waste. What God has said is so sure that it's as if it's already happened. They are gone up already into his cities. His chosen young men are gone down to the slaughter, says the king whose name is Yahweh. The calamity of Moab is near to come. This is soon going to happen. All you who are around him bemoan him. All you who know his name say, how is the strong staff broken, the beautiful rod? Your daughter who dwells in Dibon, come down from your glory, sit in thirst. That is, repent. For the destroyer of Moab has come up against you. He has destroyed your strongholds. Well, he hadn't at that time, but it was so sure it was going to happen. They're being asked to repent so that it doesn't have to happen. Inhabitant of Aroah, stand by the way and watch. Ask him who flees and her who escapes. Say, what has been done? Moab is disappointed, for it is broken down. Wail and cry, tell it by the Arnon that Moab is laid waste. Judgment has come on the plain country, on Holon, Jalza, Dibon, Nebo, all the cities of the land of Moab. The horn of Moab is cut off and his arm is broken. Make him drunken, for he magnified himself against Yahweh. Moab shall wallow in his vomit, and he shall be in derision. For wasn't Israel a derision to you? Was he found among thieves? For as often as you speak of him, you shake your head. So to be made drunken by God, to be given a cup of wine to drink, this is the language of condemnation, and it was used about Babylon, and it's used here about Moab. And yet, to be given a cup of wine to drink by God is also a sign of your blessing. And we are told about the cup of blessing, which we bless. So I think that when you take the cup of wine at the breaking of bread, you realize that this is a double symbol, that it refers both to our eternal blessing or to our eternal condemnation. And our lives ultimately have only two possible exits, one to eternal death or one to eternal life. And as God often says, therefore choose life, that you may live. And if there are only two choices, don't keep trying to balance the two, but give yourself wholly and completely to the ways of God. You inhabitants of Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rock. In other words, believe what I'm saying is really true and going to happen and act accordingly. But we have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud. His pride and arrogance and the highness of his heart. This was the problem. This is why people don't repent, because they're proud. I know his wrath, says Yahweh, that it is nothing. His boastings have worked nothing. And then I think Jeremiah butts in. He says, therefore will I wail for Moab. I will cry out for all Moab. With more than the weeping of Jazer will I weep for you, vine of Sibmar. So I think that this shows how Jeremiah had a heart that bled even for Moab, even for the Gentiles. He hears that these people are going to wail and cry out, and he wants to wail and cry out because he's so sad about what's happening to them. This is God's way of showing us how we should be. You look at Jeremiah with that heart that bled for people, and that is how we should be. Not just shrugging and thinking, yeah, well, they didn't believe the gospel, that's their problem, but having a heart that bleeds. You are going to weep and cry. Oh, well, I shall weep and cry as well. Gladness and joy is taken away from the fruitful field and from the land of Moab. I have caused wine to cease from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting. Moreover, I will cause to cease in Moab, says Yahweh, him who offers in the high place and him who burns incense to his gods. And then again Jeremiah butts in, therefore my heart sounds for Moab like pipes. My heart sounds like pipes for the men of Kir Hereth. Therefore the abundance that he has gotten is perished, for every head is bald and every beard clipped. So the fact that God says, well, you know, they're so proud they're not going to repent, Jeremiah weeps for that. Oh, that you were more humble. He's not at all indifferent, saying, yeah, well, you Moabites, you're not really of Judah anyway. You're not my people. Well, that's your problem. You got a chance and you turned it down. He's really sad that they turned it down, that he wept and his heart sounded like pipes. And that's how we should be for this world that does not want our message, that does not want the hope of the kingdom. On all the housetops of Moab and in its streets, there is lamentation everywhere, for I have broken Moab like a vessel in which none delights, says Yahweh. So they were going to weep, and because Jeremiah believed the message he was preaching, he wept for them. How Moab has turned the back with shame. They just turned their back on this wonderful offer that they could repent and get out of this destruction that was going to come. Behold, he shall fly as an eagle and shall spread out his wings against Moab. I think this is talking about the Babylonian invasion. The heart of the mighty men of Moab, who had once been so proud, at that day shall be like the heart of a woman in her labor pains. Moab shall be destroyed from being a people because he has magnified himself against Yahweh. Fear the pit and the snare are upon you, inhabitant of Moab. He who flees from the fear will fall into the pit, and he who gets up out of the pit will be taken in the snare. I will bring on Moab the year of their visitation, says Yahweh. Those who fled stand without strength under the shadow of Heshbon, for a fire is gone forth out of Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Sihon, and has devoured the corner of Moab and the crown of the head of the mighty ones. Woe to you, Moab, the people of Chemosh, that's their idol, is undone. Your sons are taken away captive and your daughters into captivity. Yet will I revive the fortunes of Moab in the latter days, says Yahweh. So there seems to be the hope that somehow at a future point, Moab will repent, and that may be in the last days.